Let's do Life of the Messiah, and we'll unpack the betrayal of our Lord a little bit tonight. Page 161 in your Life of the Messiah notes. 161, and the heading is the preparation for Messiah's death. Matthew 26, 14 through 16, let's unpack this. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought an opportunity to betray him. Okay, so let's unpack this a little bit. Other passages in like Luke talk about that it's at this time that Satan enters Judas. We talk about demon possession, but this is very rare that someone is actually possessed by Satan himself. So it's Katie bar the door. This is Satan himself controlling Judas. And you can see why. This will happen again with the Antichrist, obviously, with Satan. But this is very, very rare in Scripture. You have demon possession, but not Satan possession. Okay, so they're at Simon's house. You know this, that Lazarus is there and different people are there. We had Mary and Martha, you know, put oil on our Lord. Okay, so this starts to happen. Let's unpack what's going on here. We know that Judas Iscariot is fake. He's not a true believer. He was playing like he's one. But the giveaway with him is that he's betraying our Lord. But what he was after was not so much to follow Jesus. He was following Jesus for religious reasons. Because in religion, you can make a lot of money. So all these guys who are false teachers in these big churches, the issue of money is always following with them. Same thing with Babylon. The Babylonian religion has a lot of money behind it. So we know this because he was carrying the money, but he was taking money out of the pouch and self-aggrandizing himself. That's what false people do using religion. That's why he was following Jesus. Okay, a couple things about this. Because he's going to sell out Jesus, there's things that the text doesn't say, but we assume happened because of Roman law. In order for Judas to get Jesus arrested, he's got to go before Pilate and get permission of a Roman cohort to be sent out to get Jesus, right? So you have to have the identifier to do this, Judas, and he's going to identify Jesus with a kiss. But it doesn't say, but based on history, he had to go before Pilate to get the cohort and be as a witness to do this. So the text doesn't say this. Okay, also, not only did he have to go before Pilate to get the cohort with obviously the religious leaders of Jesus' day, he would have to be the main testifier against Jesus in the Roman trial. But what happened? He hung himself before the trial began. So imagine this. The implications is that Judas is not only willing to sell him out, and this will be the last time he sees Jesus, he's going to prosecute against Jesus, was his mindset. He's going to stand before Pilate and call Jesus out and probably make stuff up if everything was according to plan. He had to, if he's going to do this. That brings to bear in mind how evil Judas was. He simply wasn't going to sell him out. He was going to prosecute him and be the main witness against our Lord. That's satanic. I want you to see that. That's very satanic. Obviously, he doesn't do it. He failed and he didn't go to the Jewish trial. So who was with Jesus before the trial of Pontius Pilate? Nobody. I mean, the crowds were, obviously, but it would have been Jesus and Judas with Pontius Pilate. That didn't happen, and it still went on. Anyway, let's talk about the 30 pieces of silver. Now, that's what he sold them out. That's how Judas's price. But the 30 pieces of silver are significant, very significant in the Jewish mindset. According to Exodus 21:32. 30 pieces of silver is the price that you would have to pay if you killed someone's slave. So if you ran your mule team over somebody's slave and it trampled them and killed them, you would have to pay that owner 30 pieces of silver. Okay, so that's the price of a dead slave. Okay? So that idea of 30, this is very interesting. In Jewish folklore, 30 was a number to be avoided because it was a bad luck number in Jewish mythology. In our mythology, the number 13 is avoided, right? That's like a bad luck number. Like you go in an elevator, they don't have the number 13 on elevators, right? It just skips. Goes from 12 to 14. There's an interesting, just as a rabbit trail, there's an interesting theory about the number 13. And it actually derives all the way from Egypt. Can you guess why 13 is a bad luck number and it stems all the way to Egypt? What day is Passover happen? 14 Nisan. 13 Nisan was the death of the firstborn. That became a bad luck number, not only for the Egyptians, but it actually went into all the world, they think. And the number 13 became a bad luck number based on the death of the firstborn, which happened on Nisan of 13. Passover and the Exodus started on the 14th. So anyway, it became a bad luck number. 30 was a bad luck number. No one wanted to have the number 30. It was to be avoided. And so they sell Judas out for that. I'll turn to Zechariah 11 just a bit, but let me mention one more thing. It doesn't say this, but where would the religious leaders get money to pay Judas? The temple offerings. It comes from the treasury of the temple. Oh, that's very interesting. Very interesting. The temple treasury money was to be used not only to pay for the priests and their things, but the main purpose for the temple treasury was to purchase sacrifices. Israel, you walked right into it. You paid for Messiah's sacrifice for your country. The ultimate sacrifice of all the lambs you were paying for, the Lamb of God, you also paid for and didn't know it. Isn't that funny? Isn't that ironic? That's called ironic judgment. They paid for their sacrifice. They paid for Messiah's sacrifice, which would be proper. That's how you did it. And they did it by trying to betray our Lord. Isn't that amazing? Anyway, I want to turn to Zechariah 11. I want you to see this real quick because this dovetails with it. And this is the prediction of it. In Zechariah 11, this is a prediction of the 30 pieces of silver. In verse 4 of chapter 11, you can listen to this or you can follow along. It says this, "Thus says the Lord, Lord my God, feed the flock for slaughter." The flock he's referring to is a prediction of the first century generation who will see Messiah. But notice the term it's used for, the flock for slaughter. Zechariah is already predicting that the generation that sees the first coming of Messiah is going to be slaughtered. "Whose owners slaughter them and feel no guilt." It's talking about the religious leaders. "Those who sell them say, 'Blessed be the Lord, for I am rich,' and their shepherds do not pity them." Remember I told you there's always money attached to religion? There's big bucks with the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin and what they were making during that day. It's all about money. "For I will no longer pity the inhabitants of the land, says the Lord. But indeed, I will give everyone unto his neighbor's hand and into the hand of his king. They shall attack the land, and I will not deliver them from their hand." That's the Roman legion that he's talking to about. "So I fed the flock for slaughter." This is Messiah speaking. "I fed the flock for slaughter, in particular, the poor of the flock. I took for myself two staffs. One I called beauty, and the other I called bonds, and I fed the flock." Okay, what is the idea of Messiah feeding the flock that's for slaughter? What does he feed them with? The word of God. He's been feeding Israel as he ministers to them. For 3.5 years, he is feeding the flock. That's what Messiah is doing. And then he has two staffs. Remember, a shepherd carries two staffs. He carries a rod. And then a staff. A staff would be one with a crook, right? And then the rod was there to beat off enemies. What did Messiah do? He protected Israel's enemies providentially, and he kept the flock gathered. So they didn't realize this, but this is what he was doing, why he was there. And in essence, he was protecting them from the Romans. That's what he was doing. Okay. I dismissed the three shepherds in 1 month. I was talking about the religious leaders, probably referring to the scribes, Sadducees, and Pharisees. Okay. The idea of 1 month is very in a short time is how you translate that. My soul loathed them, and their soul also abhorred me. This happened the last week of Messiah when he's really debating with the Pharisees and Sadducees. And it's really hot. Okay? And he dismissed them. And in fact, that he showed them, they couldn't answer him. Remember, they kept silent. Then I said, I will not feed you. Let what is dying die and what is perishing perish. Let those who are left eat each other's flesh. The idea, this is the decision you made to reject me. You're going to die. How so? I took my staff beauty and cut it in two that I might break the covenant which I made with all the peoples. Okay, what covenant did he make with all the peoples? What they didn't realize is that when Messiah was there, he was protecting them from the Goyim, from the Gentiles, particularly the Romans, right? He was protecting them from being demolished by the Romans. If Rome had their way, they would have just crushed Israel. But providentially, he's saying, I'm the one who protected them. And with my staff, I did this, and now I'm not going to do it anymore. So it was broken on that day. Thus the poor of the flock who were watching me knew that it was the word of the Lord. The poor of the flock is the remnant of Israel, knew it was me. They knew it was me who was doing this, that I was speaking the words of God. Verse 12, then I said to them, if it is agreeable to you, give me my wages. If not, refrain. So they weighed out for my wages 30 pieces of silver. Do you see that? It's predicted that Messiah, the wages that Israel would give to Messiah for his work of feeding them for 3.5 years, the value they put on Messiah was 30 pieces of silver, the price of a dead slave. The greatest insult you could give their own Messiah. It's predicted. And in another sense, it's a double entendre. What did Jesus come as? A bondservant, yeah? A slave. And what did he do? He died. Do you see the double entendre there? Wow. And the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter. That pricely, princely price they set on me, it's a mocking from God to them. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw it into the house of the Lord for the potter. So this is what Judas did. He threw it back, right? Then I cut into my staff bonds that I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. Israel will be divided and scattered among the nations is the implication. And the Lord said to me, next take for yourself the implements of the foolish shepherd. For indeed, I will raise up a shepherd in the land who will not care for those who are cut off, nor seek the young, nor heal those that are broken, nor feed those that still stand. But he will eat the flesh of the fat and tear their hooves in pieces. What did he just jump to? He's called the worthless shepherd. You don't want me? Pay me my wages, I'll go my way. But Israel, I'm going to give you someone else. And he's called the worthless shepherd. And he will tear you to pieces. Guess. Antichrist. It's amazing. Like in the passage of Zechariah, it's all prophetic. But he'll jump from the first coming and jump into the tribulation in verses like that. That's called prophetic telescoping. So in the conversation Jesus is having, you remember he said it. He said it in the Gospels. You question me, and I'm paraphrasing, that I come in my own authority or I come in my Father's authority. But another one is coming, and he comes in his own authority, and him you will accept. He was saying what Zechariah was saying. What was he telling him? There's another one that's going to come in his own authority, not in the Father's authority, and the Antichrist is the one you will accept. Good luck with him. Did you see that? That's brilliant. So, in essence, what's tied in to Israel's judgment is the Antichrist. He will give the Antichrist because they rejected the true shepherd of Israel, the Messiah. And what's the purpose of giving them that? It's twofold. As a penalty, but also so that eventually they will beg for the real shepherd. And the Antichrist is to cause Israel to ask for Jesus to come back. See how God works in that economy? Brilliant, isn't it? Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely.